Hello and welcome to the Gardening Network Show. Today we will be discussing the pros of a community garden and what exactly does a community garden entail, and perhaps how your community could get started on their own community garden. And to help us with all that today, we have a very special guest, Kyle Holton. And Kyle is the program director with Arkansas Local Food Network in Little Rock, Arkansas. And you can see them and him at www.arlocalfoodnetwork.org, arlocalfoodnetwork.org. And also joining us today are your hosts, Siobhan Shaw from beautiful in High Canada, and me, Lisa Roberts from pretty Central Texas. And the Gardening Network is sponsored by Little Crop Circles, where you can grow more in smaller spaces. And you can find Little Crop Circles at littlecropcircles.com. Hello, everyone. Hi, Kyle. Hi, Siobhan.
Hello.
How are y'all?
Hi.
Well. How?
Everybody ready to talk about community gardening? I think it's a really great concept that needs to really catch on. You know, where you see sort of these patches of gardens kind of springing up, you know, in different neighborhoods around, but I think that they could be far bigger, maybe take over a little bit of somebody's golf course or something, you know, some of these parking spots or these parking lots that are, you know, just sitting there empty. We should be using them to grow food. What do you guys think?
I agree with you very
Absolutely.
Much. Kyle, first of all, tell us exactly what is a community garden and how does your organization participate in your community garden?
Okay. Well, community gardens can take a lot of different forms, right? I mean, it can take everything from the micro local area to like a block of a neighborhood in which owners of a certain, you know, area in the neighborhood share a plot of land and they each section things out, but it works kind of like a cooperative in which, you know, they help out with compost and whatnot.
Mm.
That's kind of on the small scale. And then you can ramp that up with some organization so that community gardens can take the shape of small towns, larger neighborhoods, and then even regions. Our organization, our Arkansas Local Food Network, it works on a larger regional level to bring in small-scale family-owned farms as well as community gardens so that there is an access to local food on a regional scale. So it entails having everybody from, you know, some folks that have a community garden to some folks that have a big backyard to some folks that have a few acres that can grow
wow.
food. And then that ties into basically an online market that people can tap into. The basic concept of this particular organizational structure is it's a membership into a local food network. And the market is online. It's based online. And so members can get onto the website. And every week we have, for example, yesterday I opened the market online.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's open right now online until Wednesday at noon. And during that time period, members can order whatever is available for this week. And then they come and they pick it up at a centralized location in the area on Saturdays. So I would say in terms of scales of community garden, this is one that's ramped up to a small region, if that makes sense.
That
oh, that's
wonderful.
So cool. No, I thought that the community garden concept we were going to be talking about today was basically you just go and get, you know, carve out your little plot and grow your vegetables. But you
right.
guys have taken it to a whole other level. I think that's amazing that you're growing for your community.
Right. And I mean, it's we can think of community gardens as small, little aggregates of a larger local economy, right? And
mm-hmm.
our attempt is to aggregate all those local community gardens into a larger framework so that there's even more support. Because mm-hmm. ultimately, I think what we're all looking for in terms of community gardens is local food production and the benefits
Correct.
That come from that, whether it be local economics, the cultivation of better local economy, or whether it be, you know, more wholesome fresh food because it's, you know, 5 miles down the road instead of, you know, 15,000 miles across,
right.
around the world. So it is a way to kind of help as a hub to help pull in these folks and have an access point for their produce. But what makes this system interesting is that it can be everybody with a plot. So it could be, you know, someone just growing collard greens and they're really good at it.
Yeah.
To someone that has a couple of acres just outside of town and has, you know, maybe a greenhouse as well and can provide a more diverse amount of food. And every one of those participants show up on the online market to be able to sell their goods or trade or whatnot. So it's a pretty cool system.
What a wonderful way to intertwine technology with this.
Yeah,
that is wonderful. I did not know Arkansas was doing that. That's wonderful. Wow.
Well, and there's some benefits in terms of the technology that also help out with some other farmers that are trying to work a couple of markets too, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you could have a larger community garden, or you could have a single grower, and instead of having, you know, to choose which place they're going to go to on a Saturday morning, they can drop off food for our online site the day before, and then they can also be present at another market on Saturday. So it helps them be at two places at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's an added benefit for many of the growers, for sure. The other added benefit is that, you know, part of communities is that there are, based upon the stages of life that we live, there are times that people have more time
mm-hmm.
to be able
mm-hmm.
to tend the garden than other times. There are more people that have better expertise. And so that scale of people, this allows for sure many people that want to be a part of a local community garden setup but don't have the time, they can at least access it. You know, they can vote with their forks. They can, you know, buy what they purchase online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating system.
It is, because it's different than a farm market. Now, we've talked about farm markets. I work at a farm market. You know,
mm-hmm.
we're busy going to farm markets every Saturday or, you know, every Wednesday, whatever days that they hold them in the community. And everybody kind of rallies there and they're selling food and pies and crafts and things like that. So this is a totally different concept.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to, there is value in the face-to-face exchange because, you know, when the consumer and the grower meet, there's more than just that base economic exchange that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
You're tying together a social fabric that's incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely probably at times maybe one of the limitations of this website-based effect. However, one of the things that it does do is that it provides a long-term sense of trust with growers, because over time, many of these consumers continue to buy from the same growers. Our growers will come in and visit on certain market days if they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's volunteer-based. So in the sense that on those market days, you have folks that are there helping out that are a part of the whole system. And so it still is very much a part of building a community. It's just making sure everybody gets what they need. And I can talk a little bit more about the specifics maybe if we want to get into it. And maybe,
yeah.
And also some of the, if we want to think about a community garden and what that's entailed, and then think about how that relates to what we're trying to do on a larger scale, there's some similarities. And one of the big ones is membership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to have a community garden, you need to sit down with folks. You need to discuss, okay, what resources do we have as a community? How many wheelbarrows do we have? Who has a trailer where we could maybe go get free compost from the city or mulch? What about in terms of time? How much time can each of our participants give? Are we going to separate just these individual plots, or are we going to share this whole system and the produce that comes from it? And what that means, though, is that on a community scale, people need to talk about membership to that, right? The amount of resources they put into it. And that holds true with our system, too. Everybody that purchases through this system pays a $60 membership fee every year. And what that does is that, well, it helps with the website, to maintain the website. I am the part-time, this whole system, if you can believe it, this is one of the interesting things about it. So we've got right now around 1,500 local growers, community growers, small-time family farms. We've got about 1,500 members that all take part in that. Okay, so on a weekly basis, we've got 1,500 people.
Just in the Little Rock area, Kyle?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Okay, so just one little city in North America. That's great.
So of those 15, and if you can imagine, that's, you know, you have a website that handles those orders for 1,500 mm-hmm. people. And the main paid staff they have is someone that's working part-time for 20 hours a week. That's me. So in terms of efficiency of, in terms of efficiency of cost, it's also a pretty good system, because that membership fee helps pay for the organizational aspects of it. But it also helps continue to kind of be the interface between the grower and the consumer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So membership is incredibly important on just a kind of nuts and bolts aspect. But it's also really important in terms of what we're doing to change our understanding about food and food economies. We're too used to the idea of walking into a supermarket without a sense of membership, if that makes sense.
It does.
We come in as consumers to just buy from a kind of faceless store. Mm-hmm. We get what we want and we consume it. And we consume it in a physical way, but we're also consuming it in a kind of consumerism way, because we don't have that sense of being a part of a larger food system. Community gardens and what we're doing with Arkansas Local Food Network is putting the membership back into food systems. We all have to realize that we're a part of a larger food shed. I don't know if y'all have heard of Wendell Berry's quote that idea of, you know, do unto others as you would want to be treated, the ancient wisdom. You know, he twists that and he says, you know, do to others down the watershed as you would want those up above you to do to you. So, you know, we're all a part of a system in which what we consume, the choices that we make, affect the people around us. And being members of that is highly important. So membership for community gardens, for what we're doing on a larger scale, I think is integral for the success, if that makes sense.
Yes, what a huge outreach! What your network is doing. That's fascinating. My mind is just.
And it all comes down. It all comes down to buying local, as you say on your website. Buying local, simple and pure. And you know, if we're not buying local, then our local economy isn't doing well. The big corporate stores are doing fine because they have, you know, 100 corporate stores across the nation. And so if this region isn't doing well, they can make it out in another area, right? Whereas, you know, your local area that you live in, you want to see it thrive. You want to see it prosper, because you're right. It's like, you know, everything rolls downhill.
Everything rolls downhill. That's right. And, you know, it's tied into a lot of the vocabulary with food, local food, too, in terms of food sovereignty. You know, the idea of sovereignty is connected historically to royal sovereignty, right? That's your king or your queen that has the right to enact power over everyone. That's their subjects. And that is still, that form of royal sovereignty is at work in our food system today.
Yes,
that it's just the royalty are not kings and queens, they're corporations. And for us to take sovereignty back over our food system, for us to have local food sovereign systems, we have to have a sense of ownership. And membership on that small scale is why that's so important. Because when we are taking membership of our own food systems, it's a political act. It's a public act of saying, I'm going to be in charge of what goes into my body, what goes into my children's bodies, and the way I treat those producers and those growers that live right next to me and around me. Membership to me is the keystone part of community gardens and local food economies.
Well, you actually say on your I've just been reading your website as you're talking, and you say food, we believe, is the golden or green equalizer.
You and then the about section, the equalizer. And that's, you know, we're in an urban setting too, and something that I'm a fairly new market manager to this system, but one of the things I'm really passionate about too is that when you're looking at local community gardens, food networks, especially in the urban settings, food equity is not found. And, you know, sociologists have these terms called food deserts, in which you can go into certain areas in cities, and they're in most cities, and you can find, you can't find good fresh food. And if you do find it, typically, it's even more expensive than where you might find it out in the suburban areas. And those food deserts coincide with lower socioeconomic regions. So it's food sovereignty, a local food economy, is also about food justice, in my mind.
Food for all.
I was going to ask.
Good food for all.
Kyle.
Say that again, sorry.
I said good food for all, like food for all, you know, there's, you know, it's, I don't know if there's anything really socialistic about that.
Well, it's not socialistic. I was talking about sociologists that talk about these food deserts, but let me put it this way. If someone keeps oxygen from another human being, that person will die. And most countries call that murder, right?
That's right.
If we keep food from certain people, they will not live. This is about food justice, food for all. I mean, this is a basic right of humanity. People access to the kinds of foods that are good for quality of life is reprehensible. It's a problem.
It is. And when you're saying access, tell me how you spread the word in your community about this, how folks become members of Arkansas Local Food Network.
Well, I mean, I think the way our conversation began in terms of community gardens, it's word of mouth, first and foremost, because you're tying together people that have had an experience with Arkansas Local Food Network. They appreciate the food they're getting from there. They find value in it, and then they tell their neighbor. So on the most basic level, we do our best to make sure that all members that are a part of this system are also on some level advocating for the continued growth of it. So obviously, like most food movements, that's a highly important part of the process. Beyond that, we try to get involved as much as we can with any city activities that coincide with that go along with our values. We try to, you know, we've recently gave some gift certificates for membership to the city because they're going to award some to members that in the city that are showing really promise in terms of recycling a whole lot of their waste that are coming out of their houses. So we try to take part in those. Our website's big. We do a little bit of Facebook as well. We try to be present in some of the other markets as well. One of the great things about This network is that we are year-round as well. So during the winter months, there are a number of farmers markets that do shut down, but we keep going all, you know, year-round, because it's not just lettuce and leeks, you know, your greens and corn. It's also people adding value to certain products. So we have folks, right. we have local bakers. We have others that are, that do eggs. There's another one that there's some meat that comes into this too. And so all those things are generating, a year round, place to be able to get local food. So we try to be present at these farmers markets, so people know, you know, hey, you know, we tell our growers, you know, pass the word around, pass out flyers, tell, you know, let people know, so that when they stop coming to these farmers markets in November, they can start shopping on the website as well. So we get it out as in any way we can, you know, local food festivals, any local events, we try to be there.
Do you find the media helps you? Are they is the media behind the local support local concept?
Yes, they are.
Cool.
They're definitely behind it. And you know, most public officials are behind it as well. And it's just a matter of letting people know that's what we're doing. So most people are part of that. So we try to be present. The media is helpful in that regard. But I don't necessarily think we count on those aspects.
Right.
We spend more time counting on the face-to-face and building a community of people.
Well, it's true. You know, I help out at a farm market, and you get to know the people coming in on a regular basis. They come back week after week, or some day after day, you know, like right now there's Asian pears in stock, which is a big item. They're sort of a cross between an apple and a pear. That's what they would look like, right? And crunchy like an apple and a mild pear taste. And people come in and buy bushelfuls of these pears, right? But they'd come back, you know, every 2 days because they eaten all their pears.
right.
You know, one couple, they slice them in half, dip them in butter and cinnamon and barbecue them, and it must be like crack for them, right? It's like they just eat them up, and they just, you know, they need to come back for more during the pear season, right? And it's amazing because you get to know these people, and then you meet their families, and they bring their extended families who have come in to, you know, as tourists for, you know, a visit, or it's amazing. And they can pick fruit and vegetables, you know, mostly fruit, but they can get out in the fields and in the orchard. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying how very important he felt it was to show his son where food came from. Mm-hmm. And right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and that's an important part of the process too. For, you know, whenever people come to pick up the food, that face-to-face encounter at least helps people understand the beginning of food with the hands that grow it, that germinate it. And I know in the past, I haven't done anything since I've started, but I know in the past they've done a few visits to some farms in the area. Mm-hmm. And that's an important aspect for it too, just to let the community, you know, see that this is how it's grown. This is the location. So that's huge. It's huge.
Kyle, when Siobhan and I were just talking to you just before the show began, you were telling us that you and your family just moved to Arkansas a couple of years ago from Africa. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us what you were doing there and how it brings you to where you are now, how it was helpful?
Sure. My family moved over to Mozambique back in 2003, and we lived there for about 9 years. We lived up in the north near the Tanzanian border, near Lake Nyasa, but Lake Malawi is what it's known as. And we went in with an approach to see how we could to play a role in helping develop local economy in whatever way possible. We worked for a small nonprofit called Kibo Group. That's KIBOgroup.org is their website. And they do a lot of East African work in terms of it, that long, instead of like, I'm going to go in and do a project for a year, they go in and they say, okay, it's going to take us a while to develop a project with people. Because it goes back to the community. You can't come in as an outsider and say, okay, here's what your problem is, and let's do it. It's more of an approach of being a member of a society and saying, what are we good at, and how can we extend those goods to improve our life? So we were invited to live up in the northern part of Mozambique with a group of people called the Yao. And we, over time, worked in a village setting, a community of about 5,000 people. And through the process of being members of that community, we helped establish a local nonprofit that is has a business side to it, a business branch. Mm-hmm. It's they have a farm. They have chickens. They have produce. They provide certain services to the village in terms of like a corn mill and a few other things. And then from the profits of that business, they run local grassroots community development projects. So they have curriculum that they have built and done in terms of like some AIDS curriculum, nutrition, some appropriate technology. The area has had quite a bit of extreme deforestation. It had close to two decades of civil war. And so a lot of the tradition and knowledge of people was stripped through that process of violence. And so they're just needing, you know, ways to kind of join back together for ecologically sound ways of developing resources again. And so we helped initiate that and get it started, and it's been running on its own now. It's financially independent. They do their own thing. It's based upon a local economy. One of the things we worked hard to do is to make sure that any projects we helped set up were not based upon the empathy of outsiders, but along the interests of insiders. And so through that process, they've generated an annual income that helps pay for people that work at part of the nonprofit, and then the rest of the proceeds go to grassroots development projects. And we're talking about just really cool, ecologically sound type of stuff. Learning how to filter water with the plants that are in the area that grow there. You know, talking about nutrition in culturally appropriate ways there. AIDS, culturally appropriate ways, and that whole process. So I didn't grow up on a farm, but living in that kind of agricultural setting. Mm-hmm. And in that context, just changed me greatly. And, you know, it's the idea of the subsistence farmer for many Westerners is a bit foreign sounding, right? Like, you know, that's your job is to live off the land. But, I mean, that is the basic human. That's what it means to be a human on a creature basis. And, and they do it very well. And so we learned just tons from them in that process. And
speaking, I have to cut in.
Go ahead.
I have to cut in because we're down to a minute, and I just wanted to let people know how to reach you if they want to set up their own local food network. Questions, and are there other local networks popping up throughout North America?
So, yeah, absolutely. So since I've come back to the States and helped become part of this particular local food network, one of the things that's cool about the system that we're a part of is, like all things, we're standing on the shoulders of other people. So if people go to littlerock.locallygrown.net, they will see a website that is for our members. They get into the market and they can order produce. However, this web site is a template-based system on a concept called locallygrown.net. And we did not design this website. So we pay a fee to use it, and this idea of the locallygrown.net website can be, people are doing it in multiple places throughout the country. And so it's a matter of if people want to do this, they can actually, this particular website system came out of Athens, Georgia. And so if people want to, at least in terms of thinking about a website-based local food network, they can look into the locallygrown.net website idea.
Well,
if they want to contact me, then they can email that. I can give my email. That's no problem. That's easy.
Let's do that, and then we have to say goodbye and thank you very much, Kyle.
So Holton. My email, yes, Kyle Holton. My email is littlerockfoodclub@gmail.com.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much for joining
so
us.
Much, and Kyle.
Yeah, you bet.
You guys,
helpful conversation.
Oh, it was awesome. So thank you very much for joining us. It is time for me to shut her down. I'm not even sure if it's recording now. Good night.